Global hot zones, the coronavirus spreading.
Fears grow of a global pandemic.
A huge spike in cases in Italy.
Hundreds of cases in South Korea. New cases reported in Europe.
The CDC warned Americans to be prepared here at home, that it's not a matter of if, but when. You don't gotta go to work,
work, work. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Had your kids, had your wife, and had your husband. We can work from home.
Let's do this.
What is virtualization?
You're gonna learn today.
Innovate like a startup, deliver like an enterprise.
I hope you're coffeeed up and ready because it's gonna be a great day.
I know you're gonna dig this.
Oh yeah.
You're listening to the Virtually Speaking Podcast with Pedro Aero and John Nicholson.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Virtually Speaking Podcast, episode number 147. My name is Pete Fletcher, a.k.a. Pedro Aero, and joining me once again is Mr. John Nicholson. John, how you doing, buddy?
Pete, I got a little bit of a cough, maybe a cold coming on here.
Oh, boy. You and your segues. That's fantastic. So are you feeling a little bit of coronavirus over there?
I thought if you put a lime in the corona, it was supposed to protect you. Is that not how this works?
One of the many questions we all need answers to. I like it. Well, unless you've been living under a rock, I'm sure you've heard the CDC has been responding to an outbreak of respiratory disease named coronavirus, or COVID-19, that was first detected in China, and it's now been detected in almost 70 locations, including the United States. Heck, the last time I checked, there are currently more than 94,000 cases of COVID-19 worldwide, with about 128 of them here in the United States. And one case right in my backyard here in Wake County, North Carolina, so that's nice. John, how's Texas doing?
We're good. Although the problem is I had Puckett visit me from King County. So I'm kind of like, the Seattle folks. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Puckett and everyone else for that matter. Just stay home, stay where you are. No visiting right now. Which kind of brings me to the topic of this week's episode. And that is working from home. There's definitely been a big increase with the COVID-19 virus going on right now for tech companies and other companies, in some places requiring, but in most other places giving people that option to work from home. I mean, personally, I think it's great because I already work from home, but I understand like not every single profession is going to give you that option. Sometimes you need to be on site, but I think there are many companies where people are coming in when they could possibly be working from home. So this could be a changing trend. John, what do you think?
Yeah. I mean, obviously like the guy who changes my oil probably needs to actually be present there. But for the wide world of technical marketing, there's quite a bit that I can do from the fortress of solitude or whatever you want to call this home office here.
Exactly. All right. So here's the plan. We have hopefully two guests this week. We've got Ken Werneberg. Ken works at VMware. He's a remote worker, but he also manages an entire remote team. So I think he's got a pretty interesting perspective on the whole work from home thing. Then if we're lucky, we're going to try and steal a few minutes from a doctor who actually works in infectious diseases. And interestingly enough, she happens to be married to John, Dr. Erin Nicholson. Hopefully, if she can spare a few minutes at the end of the podcast, we're going to get her insight on COVID-19 and heck, maybe share a few tips with us. All right, let's get started with Mr. Werneberg. Ken, welcome back to the podcast.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me again.
Ken, as you know, we're talking work from home. So you're in Canada, right?
Yes, I am. Yeah, I'm in the West Coast on a little island fortress of solitude. So I have that one extra step of reserve from the rest of the goings on around the world.
Now, Ken, do you have a bridge or did y'all already burn it?
I've never met a bridge I didn't burn, so I'm going to guess that it was burned. Yeah.
I love it. I love it. So why don't we start with that? Let's see, Ken, you're managing a bunch of remote workers. How does that work? Let's talk about some of the tools that you use and some of the tools that we as an entire team use to collaborate, to be productive. Where do you want to start in that whole list? I have several I can think of, but what are some of the ones that come to mind for you?
I guess it's interesting. I mean, I've been working from home for 15 years now. Last couple of jobs, VMware, even when I was in the field, we didn't have an office in Vancouver. So it was just working from home. So to me, this is the norm. Going to an office to me seems a little bit exceptional in a way, because it's sort of, oh, wow, you know, everyone can hear everyone's conversations and there's the boss. You have to be seen working, you know, carry your clipboard around, that sort of thing. Whereas at home,
look angry, carry a three ring binder. Right. Like that's the secret, right?
Well, I mean, I always look angry too. So I guess it's just got to work on my binder game and then we're good. Yeah. So to me, this is normal. And it actually feels a little strange to go to an office and then just have, first of all the people around that you need to work on, but also in a weird way, less time, it feels like to me, to work on things, because you're always getting pulled into conversations, into meetings, into, you know, coffee breaks, let's go for lunch, things along those lines. So I personally really appreciate the freedom that I get from working from home. But of course, that managing a team that works from home as well presents some interesting challenges, right? I mean, first of all, time zones. You're not always sure what people are willing to accommodate from a time zone perspective. Hey, I got to do this meeting at 7 a.m. to meet the 10 a.m. Easterners, or I got to do this one at 11 to talk to someone in APJ, things along those lines. So the logistics are interesting, but I mean, to your point around tooling, I think the modern workforce is so well equipped that we weren't even 10 years ago, we just were not equipped with the same sort of tool set to be able to handle that sort of distribution of a workforce.
I think when I started here, like our inner team communication was still Skype for Business or text message or email kind of, and seeing the evolution of that tooling, you know, Slack is something that, you know, a lot of us live on and things like that. It is interesting seeing how it breaks down those barriers between time zones, between remote. It makes it feel like these people who are, you know, thousands of miles away are much closer and much more approachable than I would say, even dare say, in an open office plan where people have on, you know, their headphones, which are, I think, the international sign for leave me the hell alone. if you're wearing noise canceling headphones in an open office. So it's an interesting blend.
I think one of the other, I mean, people don't know this obviously because it's a podcast, but you know, we're all staring at each other right now on Zoom. Like there is nothing that beats that face-to-face context. We're visual creatures. We need to be able to read other people's emotions. We need to be able to read other people's feedback, even when, like me, I'm going on a monologue. So having that visual representation where you can see that, you know, Pete's giving me the finger and John's bored of my rambling, then that's great. It lets us actually communicate in a way that you wouldn't get otherwise, like on the phone. And I know this has really been known forever, right? Pick up the phone and use it. Don't just send email. Email is one of the killers for remote work because you end up with no context whatsoever. You can misread the cues that are there. You might be construing cues that aren't there in the email and so forth. Pick up the phone and use it. Go one step further now. I mean, Zoom, Skype for Business, I don't care what it is. Some sort of video conferencing is absolutely critical.
Oh my goodness. Let's park on Zoom. And I want to go back to Slack because I think Slack is a big part of this. But Zoom, for one, it definitely, in my opinion, definitely revolutionized this video conferencing world, because WebEx was just, that was hard to use. Getting your microphone to work and figuring out how to actually have internet calling and all that stuff, I don't know, it just seemed always to be more hassle than it was worth. But Zoom is effortless. And like you said, you have the video option, so we can see, you know, you've got the Brady Bunch view, gallery view, so you can see the whole team. And then you can also desktop share, which is huge. So I don't know, like the way our workflow is, I'll get a Slack from John or somebody else on the team and they'll be like, hey, take a look at this. So we just jump on a quick Zoom call, we desktop share, and we're collaborating. You know, there's an area for chat in there when we're having team calls. We want to ask questions. I mean, it's way more productive, in my opinion, than even being in the office with somebody, because then we're sitting next to each other, everybody's trying to see the screen, or you're having to find a conference room somewhere. Getting on a Zoom is, in my opinion, so productive.
Well, I think back to when I was in an office and I was a manager and I was constantly having to walk over to people's desks, hunch over, lean over their shoulder, probably, you know, they're getting way too much humid, warm breath on their shoulder than they're comfortable for, so I could stare at their laptop screen as we went over something. Just from a setup and teardown perspective, going to the conference room, plugging things in, getting that organized, I think it added more friction than people realized. It's also socially acceptable in the middle of a regular conference call to be doing everything else in the world because there's no video. That also means there's no focus. How many times have you been on a conference call when someone calls a name or maybe your name and it's like, oh, I was on mute and I was, you know, gargling mouthwash and shaving simultaneously, or I'm in the shower, but, you know, I figured no one was going to call on me. The other kind of part of my monologue rant here about traditional conference calls is the audio quality is terrible. A regular phone call uses a codec called G711. It was from 1978. It is older than I am. And it was designed purposely so that native English speakers could vaguely have a clue who is who if they are intimately familiar with that person's voice. And that was the minimum standard of quality, and do so on 64 kilobit of bandwidth, which, you know, was a huge amount of bandwidth at the time. And compare that now to the HD quality voice we get. I mean, put the video aside, just the quality of voice. Listen to this podcast. It probably sounds a hell of a lot better than most of the people on the last conference bridge you were on.
Yeah. And going back to the physical conference room, I mean, every time we do converge into Palo Alto, it's the game of trying to find a conference room that's in the same building that you are, running across campus, finally getting into a conference room that we can all get together as a team and work. And then for the last 15 minutes of the conference, there are people staring through the window to see if you're in there. They want to kick you out right on the dime so they can start their meeting. All that goes away when you're on a remote call. You can, you know, you've got the bridge for as long as you need it.
Yeah. I just want to follow up too and say that video, I think, is critically important for remote workers, for remote management, for whatever it happens to be. The video piece is, you know, back to the point that this is all about visual cues and being able to relate with one another. We switched over in our team to all video, basically, for the team calls, for one-on-ones, for all the rest of these things. And it makes a huge difference. When I now call into a bridge that's been opened up by somebody in the office who isn't accustomed to using video for Zoom meetings or whatever it happens to be, I almost feel affronted in a way. It's almost like, oh, you don't want to connect with me? You don't want to talk to me?
Yeah, and it definitely has changed.
Yeah, so it feels a little strange. So I make it a habit, even on those calls, that I just open up video for the first couple of minutes. If no one else does, that's fine. But for the first 5 minutes, I'll be on video just to say hi and smile and, you know, let people remember what I look like, for better or for worse.
I used to be an IT consultant. I did a lot of work from Texas for a lot of people in the Northeast. And we went years without knowing what people looked like that we talked to on a daily basis. And I have this theory that, like, if you don't meet someone or see them, you're naturally inclined towards a much more hostile relationship. Relationships deteriorate very quickly when they're over email. As you said, it's very easy with no context to say something flippant. I'm sure email has caused a million more HR complaints in the world than ever has a face-to-face, you know, meeting. Although those, when they do get contentious, are definitely more amusing, I guess.
Yeah. My only tip for those of you that are going to work from home and do meetings or Zoom calls, you know, just be aware of your surroundings. You know, try to find a place that's quiet and whenever possible, mute your phone. I mean, there's nothing more annoying than presenting something and like hearing all the noise from the background of someone else's call. And, you know, nine other people are like, can you please mute your line? Everybody please mute your line. Yeah. So definitely my tip is when you're not talking, mute your line.
Oh God. So pro tip on Zoom, if you hold down the space bar, it will unmute you and then you can release that. You can use that as a push to talk button. The other thing also is, while we're talking about remote, just AV experiences, invest in some real audio gear. Whatever headset your IT department sends you that is certified for Skype or Link is probably the cheapest thing they could find. Like if that was the marketing angle that whoever at Logitech or whoever took, it should probably just be thrown straight in the garbage and you go find something else.
You know, and Logitech, by the way, they partnered with Zoom and they do have a lot of really good stuff. So like, for example, there's a Logitech Zone wireless headset that I've had my eyes on for a little bit. You know, it's about $300, but man, it looks amazing and it's got really good reviews. And so, you know, I'm currently using a Jabra wired headset when I'm in most calls and it works. I feel tethered. And I like the idea, you know, I see some of the folks on our team and they're on their wireless headsets and they're walking around their house getting coffee while we're on the call. And I think I need to get a wireless headset.
I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm a snob, but I'd rather invest in wired, high-quality headsets and audio and things like that I can use for listening to, you know, industrial music or whatever it happens to be as well. I mean, I'm just looking around here and I've got desktop headphone amps. I've got, you know, high-end everything kind of surrounding me from an audio perspective. And I would rather be slaved and listen to good quality audio than have to listen to a Jabra headset for the sake of coffee. Forget it.
Yeah. I hear you.
I'm using a gaming headset that lets me actually split where the outputs go between multiple. So I can set it to where I can actually have two different inputs. So I can do a custom mix of what the Zoom is versus something in the background if I was listening to two calls, which is a pro move. I recommend no one adapt as a regular organization as be on two conference calls at the same time, but sometimes a necessary evil.
Awesome. Let's transition. I know a big concern for a lot of folks about working from home is productivity. You know, oh, I don't know. You know, on one side, they're like, I don't know if I can get all the work done because I'm distracted. But at the same time, it's like there's that need to feel like you're being, you know, when you're at the office, people see you working just because you're just there. You know, I think one of the things that we do that really helps with this whole idea of understanding what people are doing, but also, you know, staying informed with what everyone else is doing is we're using Office 365 and we're using Teams. And we can see very quickly and also share with our leadership, our bosses, you know, what we're doing. What's the status on all the projects that we're working? And everybody is aware of what each person on the team is working on. And so having that ability to do that inside of teams, I think, is a very helpful tool.
Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to, well, first of all, hiring the right people. You've got to be able to, like from a manager's perspective, obviously, I mean, if you're an individual contributor, then I think you have to be aware of what you're getting into when you're working from home and how people are going to be judging you. And from a manager's perspective, it's really, you have to switch your mindset. If you start going down the path of micromanagement as a manager for a remote team, you're both going to go insane, like both going to go nuts, because at that point, you're spending so much time saying, hey, what's the status update on this? And then why didn't he answer? I needed a status update. And then I got a
15-minute TPS reports. 15 That's minutes.
It. Yeah. I'm going to need you to go ahead and come in on Saturday. Anyway, so
what,
from a management
what would you say you, really you do have to shift here?
Your mentality towards outcome-based management rather than activity-based management. I would argue that every manager in the world should probably be focusing more on outcome-based management rather than activity-based management, but that's just me. How somebody gets to the end result. The quality has to be quality no matter what, of whatever work people are doing. I mean, that's a raw expectation that you're doing good work. How an individual gets to that point. If a manager is going to sit there and look over each step of that path and time frames and say, I expect to have a milestone on Tuesday, and then I expect to have a milestone on Wednesday, and I'm going to need status updates. You're both going to go nuts because you're trying to fit something that was designed for a different model into a more modern structure. So outcome-based management is absolutely critical. And I think as an employee, if you're working from home, you have to get in that mindset as well and say, look, I've got a due date, and how I get this result done by that due date is up to me. That requires rigor sometimes. If you're an 11th hour hero, then you're probably not going to flourish because people are going to start getting nervous because they don't see any of that actual work and the research and things that you're doing. So we all know it takes a lot of effort to get to, in our case, let's say it's doing a PowerPoint or a demo or something along those lines. There's a ton of research that goes into it that's invisible. I'm talking about lab work that's invisible.
Oh, yeah.
You cannot cram all that in at the last minute and expect to produce good quality material while people are saying, hey, so what's going on with that thing? So I, as a manager, have to stop worrying about how you're getting there. And then as an individual contributor, you have to transition away from, don't worry about it, I got it, and I'll show you at the last minute. Everyone has to kind of shift a little bit in both directions.
Yeah, there was great freedom in leaving that fear back in the day of like, you know, I got to get to work at 9 a.m. I need to be there on time. And otherwise, I'm considered late and I'm not getting my work done. But meanwhile, you get to work at 9 and, you know, you spend the first half hour, you know, people talking about the game, whatever show they're watching and whatever other politics is going on before you actually do any work. I love the fact that now I'm results oriented. You know, I wake up, I look at my list of things I need to get done for the day, my goals. And if I need to run a Starbucks first, well, heck, I can do that. So I love that freedom. Of course, now with the coronavirus, I make my coffee here at home and I'm ordering from Amazon and Costco, having them delivered to my house. You know, I've been built for this, man. I'm an introvert. I'm ready for this quarantine.
I already had a 20-pound bag of rice that we've been like, actually maybe 50. I have a 50-pound bag of rice that we've been dipping down. So yeah, definitely built for that. But I have noticed some, you know, beyond the audio gear and the cameras, I have noticed a penchant for my coworkers who work from home to get increasingly obsessive and ridiculous on their coffee machine habits.
Like
this is, this is definitely a proliferation of like, I'm pretty sure they don't have that at Starbucks, like that piece of equipment.
It's funny. Pete Keeler, who's been on the podcast a number of times on the team there, I've always viewed him as the high bar for caffeine consumption. I assumed that given the relative obsession that he's got with the bean, that I'm reading a Slack conversation the other day. I'm like, I drink like four times the amount of coffee that guy does. So, okay, I got a problem.
Quality over quantity, which probably actually makes sense for remote teams. You know, if you've got the traditional, if you've got kind of this like sweatshop type environment with lots of narrow status reports and you've got like a call center and you've got to have that person who's always standing over them, trying to make that group work from home just overnight, it's not going to work. It does seem that it does lend itself towards smaller, more effective teams and probably a little bit better manager to contributor ratios.
It just reminded me of something there as well, the importance of small talk. and being able to chit chat with other people on the team. When you sit there in your cave for 10 hours a day with no real human interaction, it becomes really, really, really important that you find creative ways to establish bonds with your teammates, with your management structure, things like that. And again, I mean, it's going to sound like we're sponsored for this episode or something from Logitech and Zoom and Slack, but these are just the tools that we use. So
yeah, exactly. But
on Slack, like we've got a couple of channels that are just for chit chat.
And coffee, kids and pets.
And coffee, yeah. Kids and pets. Yeah, exactly. Fun stuff like that. And I mean, our random channel, I think, is the busiest one on the entire thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So what's going on with VSAN? Well, here's the update. That's great. Anyway, back over to random. Here's my new home improvement stuff that I'm working on. You know, and that, I think, is hugely important for the team to be able to chit chat like that on an ongoing, everyday basis.
Oh, yeah.
As often or as little as you want, because these chat tools are not mandatory, right? You're busy. You close it down. You go do some work. You feel like some human interaction between meetings. You go in and you chat with your colleagues and buddies.
Oh,
and that's also important in meetings, too. Especially for remote people. If you're joining a conference call, that small talk at the beginning is absolutely important. Be on time for meetings so that you can participate in the small talk. If you see somebody, a VP, a product marketing, whoever it is, you see them once a quarter, you better make sure that that interaction is a pleasant one. And that little bit of small talk at the beginning humanizes you. And if you combine that with video, as well as being able to just chat, then they're coming away thinking, remembering you. If their interaction with you is, you know, you join the meeting and say, everything you've done in the last quarter is wrong, and here's why. Look, I got to go. And then you hang up, then that's not going to induce them to bring you back for further conversations.
Yeah, Slack is definitely a way. I think it's a really good way to unite a team. And like you said, it's also it's funny because it's a great way to bond as a team, like you mentioned. It's also really productive because if my ADD kicks in, like you said, I can just dive in and start editing or doing things or troubleshooting my lab for hours. And then when I want to take a break and I look up, I'll just go into the Slack channels, and see what's going on and what people are talking about. And then I've got links right there. I've got, you know, screen captures of things, and it's really a productive way to even manage the communication because of all the threads, you know. So if I'm looking for something specific to vSAN, we've got a thread that's going on about that. If it's something about VMware Cloud Foundation, there's a separate thread for that. You know, if it's, like you said, cars and coffee, things like that, it's a really organized way of communicating. I think Slack, Zoom, Teams, these things have really changed the way we do work.
So do make sure you manage your notifications. You don't want the, you know, random or the, you know, coffee channel to be making a binging noise on your phone every 3 seconds.
Yeah, for sure.
So that is one thing also talking about just how to isolate yourself. You talk about, okay, you can close the social, you can close that to avoid that. Another thing that I found to help is if I just really want to go in like hyper-focus mode and block out the world, if there's work that I'm just writing and I already have all the content saved locally, I'll just kill the Wi-Fi and go, you know, hide on my deck. Or if I want to make sure that I'm like, I resist the temptation to be distracted by Twitter or something, I'll actually edit my host file. I have a different set that I comment out that just like blocks DNS to like Twitter and all of these like just normal daytime distractions. And this gets back to, you know, when I used to do IT work, I remember looking in the web filter and you look at like where the most popular websites were. They weren't sites that were ever relevant for anyone's business or industry. They were Facebook, they were Twitter, they were Instagram, all these other sites. So if you can find some way to identify the things that you waste the most time on and find ways to selectively block them out, you know, it can actually help you with that focus more if you're concerned about your own self-control, I guess, in that regard.
I'm thinking about getting a second laptop and then like some sort of biometric safe to see if my laziness is going to override my ADD so I can like shove my phone into a, you know, something that requires two-factor authentication to get at it so that I can just like, I got to focus now. Time to shackle myself to a desk and hide my distractions.
You said, I do find moving environments helps, like reset. Like if I found that I was kind of wasting some time, I'll go move somewhere else. So I'll go move down, work from the couch, or I'll go move up to the deck on the third floor somewhere. And occasionally a pace of scenery, like go work from a coffee shop on a Friday morning. You know, just try. There was something I think we talked about with Frank Denneman, some study about how taking a shower in the middle of the day can like help you inner focus, all good things. So.
And another tool that we haven't even mentioned yet that I think really helps for work for home is VMware's Workspace ONE. I mean, this is, you know, some people have different computers for work than they do have for home. You know, like having every app or every tool, everything that you need inside of a one web interface like Workspace ONE, that really makes working from home so easy because everything is just right there at your fingertips, from your pay to, you know, creating a VDI instance to, you know, to doing every single possible thing that you need to do for your job. All little apps that are just inside one interface.
Would you say that VMware Workspace ONE is the modern digital workspace platform?
I would if I was an official podcast, but I'm not. So I would just say it's really cool.
It does also help, though, that you can access things, you know, like you said, just on any laptop or anything, but also like my phone. I can just hit that and then jump into whatever it is to get some information real quick when I'm on the go from the travel side. So
you just reminded me, strangely enough, of another tip I would suggest is around goal management for remote workers as well. And from a management structure, it's important, and I fail utterly at doing this. And I would also argue that most of my team fails utterly at doing this, and we should probably do a better job of it. So here's my tip. One-on-ones should be inviolable. Like, those should always stand. And I'm terrible about moving them, and I feel terrible when I have to move them, but I try never to cancel them, just to shift them through the week. Those are absolutely important. And they, if nothing else comes from a one-on-one, first and foremost, you should find some time to chat. Like, again, all other things can be accomplished through Teams, through Planner, through Excel sheets, through whatever it happens to be in terms of tracking goals and activity and productivity and what's happening and challenges and all the rest of that stuff. What can't be established is that relationship. So those one-on-ones, first and foremost, should be inviolable, because that's your opportunity to establish a relationship with the other person.
Yep.
And I don't care if it's, you know, a peer, if it's a friend, if it's an enemy, a boss, whatever. And the other thing is, within those one-on-ones, you should talk about some of the goals. And they could be whatever goals you want. It could be goals around career advancement. It could be goals around just simple output. Like, I'm struggling. I really want to get this over the line by next Thursday, but I'm having a problem with it. Like, whatever it should be a productive conversation and a friendly conversation, or if not friendly, then, you know, personal. But always, always take those opportunities for one-on-ones. Absolutely critical from both a establishing relationship perspective, which is the biggest problem from a remote employee perspective, as well as from a actual productivity, not a activity productivity perspective.
Oh, I agree 100%. I mean, Jeff and I have a weekly one-on-one, and you know, we definitely have a good mix of, you know, we talk about personal stuff, we talk about what's in our lives, you know, and then we'll talk about, you know, what our, you know, what's going on at work. But it's never just a one-on-one of like, here's my status on this and here's my status on that. It's actually a conversation, and it never fails. It seems like every one-on-one that we have, and it really is like being in an office, because if there's the video there, we're just having a good conversation. I always get something out of every one-on-one. It's always like, you know, it's like, oh, I hadn't thought of that. Or he'll give me a suggestion, or I'll give him a suggestion. And there's always something that you couldn't have anticipated in those chats. And I think that is probably the kind of stuff that people fear would be lost in a work from home situation, when in fact it's still there.
Yeah, you might have to work for some of these things a little differently, but, you know, I would still take this in a heartbeat over, oh good, it's time to go sit with my office mate, whom I hate and I have hated for the last 8 months, and I keep leaving rat poison in his food and he doesn't eat the damn stuff. But, you know, you're waiting for that guy to keel over and you cannot get rid of him.
So you can take his good chair, because he has the good chair because he's been here forever.
That's right. Yeah. So then you start like feigning a fever and a cough. Does this cough sound dry to you? Am I warm? Touch my forehead. Is that sweat, or do you think that's something else? And like, just, yeah. So you cannot escape. Whereas at home, I'm like, well, it's time for the world to go away for a little while. I close my door and I'm alone. So it's good. But I'm a little bit of a misanthrope, so don't take my word for it. Why did you have me on, by the way?
You just answered the question. The question was the answer. I like it. Ken. All right. So yeah, listen, this is a one-off type episode. You know, we're not going to sit here and give you medical advice. That's not the goal of this. It is a tech conversation around working from home. I think there are a lot of great tools out there, whether it's hardware, whether it's software, whether it's applications, free or paid for subscriptions. I think there's a lot of really great tools out there. We tried to share you a little bit of the mix of the ones that we're using. And I'm interested if these are not the ones you're using and you have better ones, man, I want to hear about it. So definitely send us a message on Twitter at VertSpeaking or email us at podcast@vmware.com. I definitely want to hear what you guys are using to if you are working from home. I also want to hear what your thoughts are around working from home. Like, do you think it's a good thing? Are you the introvert that's like, I've been planning for this my whole life? Or are you the extrovert that says, oh, I need to see people? But while I'm talking, I noticed on our Zoom call, we got a fourth person that just joined, and this is none other than our senior Virtually Speaking Podcast medical correspondent, Aaron Nicholson. Aaron, how you doing?
I'm fine.
I called you the senior Virtually Speaking medical correspondent. I'm guessing you have a different title at work?
I am a pediatric infectious disease specialist.
So you know some things then. You know some things about this COVID virus, right?
Some.
Well, there's one question I think that you could probably help everybody understand. You know, there's a lot of people that want to know about this, and I think you would be the person to answer this question for us. And the question is, how did John get you to marry him? I mean,
oh my gosh!
I'm just gonna ask: were you very ill at the time?
Blink twice if you're in distress.
Oh my!
It was in Mexico, but there was no swine flu.
Oh my goodness, y'all are ridiculous.
No, in all seriousness, Aaron, I know you. I know that we've got the cdc.gov for all of the official information. I know you guys are working hard at that stuff. I know everybody should wash their hands, and I know everybody should try not to sneeze in front of people. I know I guess I'm hearing masks don't really work that well. Is that a thing?
Not really. Yeah, so the issue is typically when you're breathing things in, yeah, that may help a little bit, but the transmission is actually happening mostly from fomites, so things that you touch with your hands and then you touch your face or your mouth and things like that. And so masks actually make you more irritated and they make you touch your face more. So you may end up having more issues with the mask, and it probably isn't preventing acquisition of the infection.
So would you say that we're safer touching other people's faces and mouths?
Please, like the meme said, no touching hands, no, all those things. Now, I mean, you just have to use common sense.
And for those of us that don't have common sense,
wash your hands.
So you're saying all like these stacks and stacks of P100 full stack masks that I just bought are a waste of money?
You mean N95 masks?
No, I mean N100 and P100.
Oh, those are the full respirators. Like
those are different. Yeah. Okay. Because N95 is typically what we use for measles and tuberculosis. So those are airborne pathogens, meaning they hang out in the air and you can actually breathe them from the air multiple hours later. COVID-19 is a coronavirus, which it will not hang out in the air because it is carried on respiratory droplets and doesn't actually persist in the air. And it also doesn't persist on actual things outside the body for very long, but they're still trying to understand exactly how long that happens. I read an article about that the other day.
Nice, nice.
Okay, so aside from looking cool, I didn't actually do myself any favors with the respirator.
You know it's working when you can feel like you're drowning in your own hot, sweaty breath is what
I always feel like that. Come on, man, I'm a smoker. Aerosolized versus droplet, right, is the difference. So droplet is actually going to be harder to get through a barrier of some sort versus aerosolized, which is
But the problem is most of the time we actually get these types of viruses from touching things and other people rather than breathing it in through the air. So that's why the mask doesn't really do a whole lot, although it may keep people from spreading their own droplets. So that's why we, in some cases, will recommend that a patient with the infection actually wear a mask, because it keeps them from spraying the virus through respiratory droplets.
That's good information. I like it. So.
Oh, that's the general idea. That, I mean, there's probably quite a bit of nuance to that we don't know about this particular virus, but those are the general concepts.
So from a geography perspective, would you say that people are safer living on islands off the coast of Canada, or would they be safer living in downtown LA?
This is I mean, the idea that is pervasive now that this is most likely going to become endemic and may even to the point that it will repeat over the next several years. So we will see exactly how far this spreads and how often this comes back. This may be, I mean, to the point where it may come up every year, a couple of years, or it may just die out. And we don't know that yet.
Yeah.
I can't help but notice you didn't answer the question, though.
Yeah, we don't know.
So you're not. So you're saying it's not a hoax.
You were just trying to make me say that you're safer in Canada. I know
exactly.
This.
Yes.
So I mean, I guess one thing is that we normally don't just every time someone gets a random cold, we don't generally know which cold they have.
Correct.
Right.
Exactly. And at this point, we're not doing widespread testing. So we're doing testing as indicated, and that's based. And those guidelines are rapidly changing even in the last couple of days from the CDC. And so those will continue to change over the next weeks to months. But the testing that we're doing is mostly for hospitalized patients only at this point.
Pete, make sure to get a screenshot of Ken and his mask.
I need to do that.
That's going to be that is the cover picture for this. It's him and his N100 respirator.
Oh, you guys, you just have fun. Come on.
But actually, if you want information, the CDC website is good. The Harris County, well, I say because we're in Houston, but the local health departments a lot of times will have some good information. And then publications, which are sometimes available, sometimes not. But right now, the New England Journal has publicized their coronavirus data that they recently published a couple days ago. And that data, I believe, is publicly available. I don't know for how long. But they have some really nice data on what they've been seeing in China.
That's awesome. And it's ever changing, right? So I would recommend
Correct.
That
exactly.
you just keep going back. Wake up in the morning, have your coffee and see what the CDC is saying today.
Well, and you don't want your life to revolve around this. So this is not what we should make the most important thing in our day. This is something that we keep in the back of our minds. We talk about, we educate ourselves as much as we can, but this should not dictate how you live your life. That's not the goal here, because as you'll note, and will probably be continuing, at least from the initial data coming out of China, the biggest risk are going to be for people 50 and older. And we'll see kind of how this evolves. But I really don't think that people need to be, I mean, surrounding and pointing their life entirely at coronavirus or COVID, SARS-2, whichever one you want to call it.
That's good advice. Aaron, thank you so much for joining us, and enjoy the rest of your day and keep up the good work.
And protest. Okay.
That's the only way they All get right. guests on the podcast is under protest.
I didn't know what was happening. Like, what is going on?
Yeah, so okay. Zoom, if you hit invite, you can just type in a phone number and it'll dial people.
Oh, you didn't even tell her what was going on? You just sucked her into the podcast?
No.
Oh, John.
Again, why did I marry you?
I love you.
All right.
All right. See ya.
The interesting thing of this whole thing too, like, you know, even as Aaron is saying that, you know, this can't be the focus of your day-to-day life. And it is interesting to go back to what you're saying earlier about how things were like conferences are being canceled and postponed and delayed. And we have VMware guidance saying, you know, travel at this point should be highly restricted and only down to actually critical activities and things like that.
Yep. Yep.
I think this means that our day has come as remote workers. Like, now everyone's kind of going to get a feeling of this fact.
Oh, yeah.
Of
welcome to the Thunderdome.
But here's my theory. This is going to explode because not the Thunderdome. I mean, Thunderdome is that, what was that, 87? Like, it had its opportunity and it failed. So, but the remote working thing, I think, will ultimately be highly advantageous to businesses as well. Now that we have the tooling that allows us to do these things effectively, why put people at risk of getting sick and coming in and spreading that when you have the alternative? Why maintain highly expensive real estate in some of the most primo locations in the world to house people that are going to sit there and do what I do at home anyway, which is, yep. you know, surf for kitten memes and things like that on Reddit and download torrents so that I can watch it when I get drunk in the evening. But you know, that's what everyone does in the office anyway. So
really,
you know, why that real estate? Am I wrong? Did I read this thing totally incorrectly?
Okay.
So I think there's a good opportunity there.
All right. Great conversation on working from home and COVID-19, actually. I suddenly feel the need to give a disclaimer. The Virtually Speaking Podcast does not condone poisoning your coworkers, surfing the internet for cat memes all day. And I'm sure quite a few other ones. But great conversation, Ken. Thank you so much. John, when you speak to Erin, let her know. We really appreciate her. And again, for those of you that have comments on this, we want to hear from you. So send us a message on Twitter, at VertSpeaking, or email podcast@vmware.com. We'd love to hear from you. All right. Well, that music tells me it's time to go. And so if you want to get in touch with us, send us an email at podcast@vmware.com. You can subscribe to us on your podcast app of choice by searching Virtually Speaking Podcast. You can catch this and all episodes at vspeakingpodcast.com. A big thanks to Dr. Erin and Ken Werdeberg for joining us this week. Take care, guys. We'll see you next week. But until then, bye for now.
This is amazing.
Oh, yeah. Erin just explained why she actually picked up. The only reason I picked up is I'm an outpatient and several doctors have her phone number to Paige, and she thought it was a doctor.
So your wife joined our call thinking
she gave me a hard no last night. It was like,
so you're in trouble.
I'm not media trained, like
you're in trouble.
Oh, it was great.
She acted like she was media trained. She was great. She was better than we were.
I mean, we're not media trained, are we? Ken, am I supposed to be media trained, or that just means y'all can fire me if I say something stupid?
They've asked us to get you guys media trained, and I put a hard line in the sand on that one and said, no, John and Pete will not talk to the press. That's just not how this is going to go down.
Enough of this jibber jabber.